This is Robert Stark. I am joined here with Spear. He is a vaporwave artist and video producer and DJ based out of Pennsylvania. Spear, it's great talking to you.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys. It's good to be here.
And I'm also joined here with my co-host, Francis Nelly.
Hey guys, long time no see.
Spear, can you talk about how you originally got into music?
So I started when I was a little kid, just playing drums and stuff. And that's what I did for like many, many years, just like playing drums and like jazz bands at school and stuff. And it was really like 2014, that's when I started to get into producing, because within the year of 2013, I started to get into like Adult Swim bumps and just that kind of media, like Samurai Champloo and stuff like that. I'm like, you know what, this music is really cool. Maybe I'll start making it myself. So that's when I decided to start producing stuff in January 2014. And since then, like, it's just carried on some path. And occasionally I still play drums and stuff and a little bit of piano, so I guess that's a little bit of my history.
Would you describe your genre as basically vaporwave?
My composition genre, in terms of producing, I would say yes, like VHS, like vaporwave, that kind of hypnagogic kind of stuff. But in terms of like my DJing style, I kind of just do everything. Like, I'll just play whatever the crowd wants to hear, and then I'll just throw in a little bit of like future funk or vaporwave, because that's like the soul of what I do, I think.
You said you mostly got into vaporwave. It was from those Adult Swim shows.
Well, originally I was more into like the lo-fi, like trip-hop, boom-bap stuff. And it wasn't really until like 2016 when I really started to get into like vapor concepts, just from like doing research at school and stuff. I'm like, I gotta start making it. So my real first vaporwave album, like what I would really consider to be like pure vapor, came out as the Enigma EP, and that was early 2017. So you could kind of say like I started to become more of a vapor artist around like late 2016.
How would you describe a vaporwave if you were going to describe it to someone who's never heard of it?
Well, usually I describe it as just like 80s music except slowed down with effects on it, because at the end of the day, that's what it is. You can really turn anything into vaporwave, which is cool. It's just like an aesthetic choice. It's just a particular expression to invoke certain senses. So if you're talking about vapor, it's kind of the concept of like something that was, but isn't really there anymore, but it's kind of like you're re-manifesting it in like a more abstract form. For example, if there's like a record from 1983 that I really like, and I think it needs justice, I'll slow it down, and I'll make it sound degraded. Like, I want everything to sound like it's aged. And I feel like that by itself creates like this nostalgic feeling where it's like, it was there, it was real, but it almost feels like it's not. So it's like this weird complex. Like, that's why I keep using the word hypnagogic, because the way I perceive vaporwave, it's kind of like a manifestation of the period between being asleep and being awake, where you can't really distinguish between what's real and what's not.
Francis, do you want to ask a question?
Have you released a cassette, and what is your opinion about the resurrection of cassette culture in the vaporwave genre?
So last year, the EP I mentioned, Enigma, that was released on cassette internationally, and we sold a few copies of that. It was with my good friend Keenan. He runs Oneric Tapes, which is like a lo-fi label. So in terms of like physical media, I've always been into physical media, like records, cassettes, and stuff like that. I'm glad it's making a comeback. I don't know how long it's going to last, because as for like the concept of like bringing things back, like reboots and stuff like that, usually it's like a trend that you ride on and then it kind of disappears. So it's good to see it for now, but I think something else is going to take over the cassette wave. I don't know what though. But me personally, I like to see like VHS tapes make a comeback. That'd be amazing.
Would you say a vaporwave, it's an idealized aesthetic, or is it commentary on things like things like consumerism, or is it more sort of this idealized surreal aesthetic?
I like to describe it as idealized consumerism, personally. I would just combine both your ideas, because you got, like, micro-genres of vaporwave, like mall soft.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just, like, you take a mall, which is literally a corporate landscape, and you paint it, like, this mythical place. And it's like, these malls did exist, and people did go to the mall, but it was kind of just going to the mall. It wasn't, like, this artistic expression. So it's almost like vaporwave is giving life to a corporate landscape that could have life. It's almost like you're selling people art, but it's good art. That's the way I describe it. So it's like surreal, it's abstract, but the goal is to make it tangible. And then once you do that and people like it, you can invoke consumerism that's still mutual. So I think vaporwave is kind of like the gateway between business and art, if you treat it that way.
Do you also design the visual art for the videos?
Yeah. So, actually, I haven't released a video in a while. I used to release a ton of videos on my YouTube, which might be kind of hard to find. But lately, I've been, like, making music videos on After Effects and stuff in, like, my vapor style. They just haven't been released yet, but you'll see those pretty soon.
And what is the inspiration for the visuals?
Really into, like, late 80s and 90s, like, anime visuals and stuff. I forgot the name of the style, but I was talking with my friend about it, but the limited visuals where it's like, you'll have one frame of animation, and it'll just zoom in on something, and then the next frame will have, like, 20 different still shots drawn. I really love that style, and I just love combining that with, like, the VHS aesthetic, because it gives you just, like, a really mad, surreal vibe, like, just a tape that degraded for, like, 20 years, you just put it in, you just found it.
What is your most recent project or upcoming project?
So, lately, I've just been streaming, like, on Facebook. I started this show, it's called The Vapor Room. Essentially, I'm just, like, I have people submit their music, and I just review it on air. So, a little people, or the little guys like me can get publicity, and so can I. I've still been writing music in my dorm in Pennsylvania. Haven't released anything lately, but I always write because it's kind of my passion. And finally, aside from that, I'm just trying to get some more DJ gigs in Pennsylvania. So the last one I did was on New Year's Eve, and that was really fun.
What do you do in your show, The Vapor Room?
The Vapor Room, it's just me and whatever setting I'm in. I got my SP404 plugged in and stuff, and basically I'm just going through, like, my Facebook DMs. People send me, like, a SoundCloud link, I'll play it, and then I'll just give my opinion on it, and I'll give my advice on how they can improve it from, like, a production standpoint and composition. And yeah, it's all in good fun.
Do you have any vaporwave artists or other musicians that influenced you?
Yes, many. I got, like, well, my favorites, like, the guys who I always talk about, like, 18 Karat Affair. I love 18 Karat Affair. He's a really cool guy. It's actually, I talked to him a few times, not in person, but just, like, talking. Like, that dude's chill. And then you got, like, Datfoot Dive. I think I talked to him a few times. He makes some really cool stuff. You got Cat's Court. You got Telepath. Just, like, normal guys. Then you have some lesser-known people, like Vapor. I mean, is it Vapor Stage or Siege Vapor? I always forget. But you got him. I got a few friends who make Vapor. I don't know, man, like, I'm kind of just all across the board when it comes to influences. If we're talking about older stuff, like, before I started making Vaporwave, I was into Teebs, I was into Bird, Nujabes, all these people, just various producers. And I love, what's his name? Casino vs. Japan, that's a cool guy. Hopefully I'll meet him one day.
Francis, do you want to ask a question?
Do you think Macintosh's Plus Floral Shop album is probably the most overrated vaporwave album ever?
That's just the internet, man. Like, the internet is just cancer, so anything that's, like, remotely good or subjective is going to be blown out of proportion on the internet. Because I've listened to Macintosh. Honestly, dude, like, it's a good album. It's just a standard vaporwave album. I thought it was decent, but it's not like, oh, this is the best album of all time, because, you know, I know what I like, but people will just write it, but they're allowed to. It's supporting the artist. As long as it supports the artist, I don't really think it matters what fans do. Like,
it's interesting to note that the Wolfenstein OX's Ultimate Guide to Vaporwave, there is a complete Vectroid releases of releases under the prototype releases, and obviously from home to Tanning Salon, it's almost a huge amount of people into the Vaporwave genre are interested in Vectroid's work. I mean, it's interesting to think like that, but that's interesting because, you know, you have giant genres. You know, if somebody's into you know, classical rock, they'll say Led Zeppelin or something like that. And, you know, and there's usually that figurehead among the genre. What do you think about the other Vectroid releases?
Oh, dude, you got me there. Like, Vectroid, I barely listen to any of that, but I'm going to have to, like, do some research.
Well, no, it's weird because I have Macintosh, but recently the vinyl came out for Floral Shop on pink vinyl, and now it's, like, annoying, obnoxious because people want on vinyl, and used copies $100 to $200. I even have it, the Brazil bootleg on cassette, and it's just a bootleg, right? And the bootleg goes for $100, $200 on eBay, and I got it when it was $30. I just think it's kind of ridiculous sometimes that this huge fanfare around Vectroid's releases between 2012 to 2015, people are just sought after as they're kind of the, you know, the center of the vaporwave, when really it's just Vectroid's work. I think it's very strange. I mean,
yeah.
Have you listened to Eco Jams?
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, I've definitely listened to Eco Jams. I can't tell you too much about it because it's been a long time since I've, like, explored it.
Because I love Eco Jams, and when I think of Vaporwave, I think of Eco Jams, the classic style, over and over again, and that seems to be my favorite over Vectroid's work, and I even got it, you know, on cassette. That's how much I like Eco Jams, so.
Word. So, if we're talking about, like, styles, there's one immediate difference that I noticed between, like, someone like my style or, like, let's say my style and then someone who's also hypnagogic, like, let's say Telepath, right? Like, his older EPs, before he started doing more of, like, the obscure electronic stuff. I think the key difference is just the way that you master the track. And that's the crazy thing, because we're getting all the samples from the same place. Like, everyone goes to YouTube, everyone just looks up 80s music, whatever. But if you just put, like, a slightly different filter on it, it changes the whole genre. It's crazy, because it's the same foundation. It's just samples. Like, for me, if I put compression on something, that'll turn it into a hypnagogic piece versus not putting compression on it and putting, like, a high-pass filter on it. Then it's more classic stuff. So I just find that kind of interesting.
It's interesting because, you know, the proto-vapor tape releases, like Skeleton, you know, that one release with the Skeleton, that's, you know, digital, but all that is just really slowed down to a point where it was like, you know, it's I don't know if it's a joke or not, but it tries to push the limits of, you know, the point of can it be listened to or is this music, and it just becomes so slowed down where it's like, anybody can do it, but I understand the different styles of Vaporwave, where now that it's changed from simply just Eco Jams to, you know, this funky, you know, style that Floor Shop has done, to, you know, Daft Punk-inspired future funk, to, you know, my favorite now, Hard Vapor, you know, the rave, cassette rave type. It's interesting where it's going now. I strongly believe in... I really like stuff from Orange Milk Recordings. I do believe on the 2017 Vaporwave Guides, some Orange Milk releases were on it. I wouldn't necessarily call it Vaporwave per se. It's definitely influenced by it, but it has this very, I guess, funky aesthetics that people like, you know? I think now Vaporwave has pretty much became a Reddit board on Vaporwave/Reddit, and people are just mods for this, pretty much the style of music that people really like, you know, that represents 20 to 30 years ago and samples of that, you know.
Can you talk about these sort of concepts that relate to your music? There, one of them is a Portuguese word, saudade, and then there's saudade. Also saudade and hypnagogia, which is that's a transitional state of wakefulness to sleep in humans.
Yeah. Alright, so for all the listeners, excuse all my pronunciation of these words in advance. But, like, okay, so saudade is kind of like, in Portuguese culture, essentially you have this concept where it's like, the husband will leave their wife, and they'll go out to sea, and the husband's just thinking about the wife, like, dang, I really just miss her so much. You're just thinking about all the good times that you have there and stuff. But that's all you got, just like the memories, the imagination, the hallucination. So I really invoke that a lot in my music, I believe, because most of the time that's kind of how life feels, because I can't remember much from like my childhood and stuff, but I can picture how it might have been, or I could picture how these times might have been even though I didn't live in them. That's like the 80s and stuff. I wasn't born in the 80s. But it's kind of like you can just create that feeling. That's what I discovered. It's just a matter of how you produce your stuff and the tones that you pick, because I noticed certain tones would just invoke that feeling, which is crazy to me. And then hypnagogia is exactly how you described it, just the transition between wakefulness and sleep. I mean, dude, if you ever had like a lucid dream or anything like that, it's just kind of out of this world.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was a kid, I used to just like play CDs and I would just like go to sleep while is playing the music, and it just like you can play something and it'll affect the course of your dreams and whatnot. So really the whole purpose of me doing like this hypnagogic thing is to put people in these weird like illusionary states when their brains are most vulnerable to it. So it's kind of like I want you to feel a certain way. If you submit your whole self to the sound, it'll put you in a state that I was once in, hopefully. And the only way to do that is through a state with no, like, walls or barriers, and that's the hypnagogic state. Or gogic, I don't know.
Has there been, like, one particular song that's really captured one of these states you can think of?
I think if you go to, like, my... Well, all my albums are in Japanese, so I'm gonna go to my website right now. If you go to my last LP... In English is like all smiles, like the last one I released in July, that whole thing was like a summer dream for me. It was kind of just like an encapsulation of the beginning of college for me, I guess, but just from like my brain, if you know what I'm saying. Essentially, it's like all I'm trying to do is invoke the vibrations that I feel at a certain time, and then when you listen to it and you're about to go to bed and stuff, it's easy to like, I guess, picture it. It's almost like I wrote a soundtrack. Your brain is the projector screen, and you write your own movie for whatever soundtrack that you're listening to at the time. And it's the same with Atlantic. I think Atlantic is a little bit more of an upbeat album. And the cool thing about it is, like, that was before college, so if you kind of listen to all my albums in order, you can, I guess, trace the evolution of my imagination and my thoughts and stuff.
You said a lot of your albums are in Japanese. Do you speak Japanese fluently?
No, I do not. I speak Google Translate.
Oh, right. But use that Japanese symbol next to a spear. Is that just the Japanese character for spear?
Yeah. I know, like, a few, like, Japanese words and stuff. I'm really better with Spanish, like, which is kind of funny. I can, like, write in Spanish, like, without even translating and stuff. And I used to know Mandarin, but I completely forgot that, so.
Francis, do you want to ask a question?
What are your thoughts about Dream Catalog Records and Business Casual Records? They seem to be the most largest, I guess, if you want to say, quote-unquote, vaporwave that's popular among most people who consume into vaporwave, you know?
So, I would say they're doing a good job, like, branding themselves. I mean, like, whenever you have a big, like, vaporwave label, it doesn't even really matter what they're releasing. It's just kind of like, are you keeping the name of the genre alive? Because you got, like, DMT. Like, that's another big label on Bandcamp. You got, Fiat 500. That's 18 Karat Affairs label. Now, I feel like you could release whatever you want and you could call it vapor. It could just be samples of, like, people talking in some room, and you could literally call it vapor. It's just a matter of the presentation of the label,
I thought it was really ridiculous sorry about that. I mean, on Bandcamp's Best of 2017 cassettes, some of the releases that they had, I forget the guy's name, but I clearly remember the release. And I do believe it was just the recordings of just supposedly the mythology around the cassette was he found these voice recordings in a thrift store and then reorganized them with this tone and feeling. And before I looked at it, there was only one remaining left. And I was like, well, it's a $20 tape. And I refreshed the page, and then it was sold out. And again, that was kind of listed as experimental. But definitely in the whole Bandcamp scene, people are they will buy anything that's very avant-garde and artsy. And certainly the cassette tape has proven that through Bandcamp's market sales. And yeah, I understand the whole vaporwave thing. It's definitely this influence of, again, it's this weird Japanese stuff and 80s nostalgia mixed with aesthetics of being there, you know, or some kind of takes you somewhere. That's the reoccurring gag.
Francis, have you heard of this place called Vapor Island?
I have heard of the place called Vapor Island. What do you know about it, Robert?
Just that it's really secretive.
Isn't it your book?
Really?
That's your book. Isn't it called Journey to Vapor Island by Robert Stark?
Is that real?
It is real. And it's a book by Robert Stark.
Tell us more about it. If Robert wrote it.
And I wrote some parts in it too, about the, especially that it takes divided parts between the past and the future, especially the future part. But it's a very interesting book, and it took a very long time. It's also Robert's pride and joy. It just came out a few months ago.
Really? That's cool. Well, everyone check that out then. Like, vapor literature, that's something you don't see a lot. So definitely hit that up. You see a lot of vapor media, but you don't see people, like, reading about it, per se.
Francis, didn't you write a vaporwave chapter in one of your books?
I did. You know, it's interesting. I blog, and this is interesting. We're talking about, I guess, quote-unquote, vaporwave literature, if it's a thing. And that's, you know, we have to determine what it is. I mean, recently, I got in the mail was the Wolfenstein OX's End of the World cassette, and his mythology behind of it is somewhere in the Ukraine, the world is ending on December, you know, 2020, and everyone dies, but they're going to have an old style rave, and there's a story insert in the panel about this guy who is in this rave, and then he dies, and supposedly the cassette is a soundtrack to that, and I guess you could call that vaporwave literature, but I was very, you know, I really didn't really consider vaporwave until I saw Blank Banshee live. I've not heard of Blank Banshee before, and never heard of his releases at all. I saw him in Philadelphia, and the first impression I got was an aesthetically amazing, pleasing experience, and I had to go home and write about it. And you know, there's something that he's in, especially it's his work, because he does all the CGI work and everything. I feel like there's definitely some literature or art scene based upon the themes vaporwave talks about. In fact, when he had his new album Mega came out, he had a story that goes along it under, you can still read the story under blankbanshee.com on his Dreams page, about this comet that comes down and kind of wipes the world. There's also like this triple pun about the comet, you know, Earthbound samples and whatnot, and you make all these connections. But I think people like Blank Banshee, or maybe Robert Stark, or something I've written, certainly this talk about the past, or some, again, this hypno thing about getting this certain feeling, that's definitely, maybe there is definitely that could, I'm saying there could be possibly vaporwave literature if you give it 10 more years, but I think it's flirting right now.
Or vaporwave films.
That too, possibly.
Well, here's my thought. Vaporwave has already existed ever since humanity has existed, ever since humans have been able to dream. That state has always, like, hypnagogia is, or gogia, however you say it, that's something that kind of, like, transcends, like, any culture. As long as you're a sentient being, you have the ability to dream, you can kind of experience that. I wouldn't argue that a dog thinks about, like, being a puppy, but that's kind of what it is. It's just, like, you just think about when you're a little bit younger, or how things would be if it was, like, an idealized future. You remember in, like, the rocket age, or whatever you call it, space age, when the whole thing was like, yo, we gotta get to the moon? You could call that a vaporwave period. Like, dude, all they were obsessed with space. Just that kind of idea, like pursuing something that seems so grand and out there. Because essentially anyone who partakes in the manifestation of vaporwave art in general, you're manifesting something that theoretically shouldn't be real, and you're making it real.
It's like the whole concept of retrofuturism. It's how the past saw the future. So it's something that has been envisioned and imagined but never been implemented in a concrete sense.
Okay, so would you say that, like, a movie like Blade Runner or something like that is a vaporwave movie?
I've heard people describe it more as, like, cyberpunk.
You know, I think, I've jokingly talked to this with my friends. I've always said that the reason why comedian Sam Hyde and his show World Peace is so popular is because it's the vaporwave comedy show. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch World Peace on Adult Swim. It was only 6 episodes long. It came out last year, and his art is really bizarre, and it's definitely influenced by vaporwave. So,
weird. That's cool.
What about
what I thought of, like, the Tom Green show. Like, the Tom Green show, that was all, like, public access television.
What about Tim and Eric on Adult Swim?
Interesting.
Yeah, all those are, like, lo-fi media.
Yeah, I guess you can say that.
Like, Eric Andre show, like, I wouldn't call it vaporwave, but it's definitely, like, lo-fi, boots-to-cuts, old-school media.
Well, Spirit's been an excellent show. Before I wrap things up, is there anything else you'd like to add, either about vaporwave or any of your projects?
Well, I guess, like, if you want to check my stuff out, you can go to ptsrecords.bandcamp.com. There you can listen to all my albums and stuff. And, of course, you can find me on Facebook. Just put in that little Japanese symbol next to Spear. You find me. I'm also on SoundCloud, same name. But, yeah, dude, like, I think vaporwave is the wave. No pun intended. But maybe. I don't know, man. It's just cool. That's all I gotta say.
Spear, it's been an excellent show. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, man. It was a lot of fun.
And also, thanks, Francis Nelly.
Nice talking to you guys, like always.
Word.